Ramsey TV.
Boy, you rarely get a more precise definition or a more precise reason as to why there is evil in the world than Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to read that verse, and I'm going to show you how this has given me, and I think it'll give you a whole new perspective on good and evil. Welcome to MZTV. This is Martin Zender bringing you comfort in times of trouble, which is pretty much all the time. And that is the theme of this broadcast. Comfort, I guess dual theme, comfort and times of trouble. Let me end the suspense here and get right to Ecclesiastes 1:13. This is a very compact, self-explanatory verse. And I never heard this quoted before until I started studying material from the Concordant Publishing Concern. It is an experience of evil Elohim has given to the sons of humanity to humble them by it. Of course, the King James probably says God there. Elohim is the Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew title of God as the one who places things. El is placer. Elohim is plural. That's true. Some people think it applies to the plurality of God's majesty. I think that's a cop-out. God works through other El who are commissioned by him. And these are Jesus Christ is one. Jesus Christ is actually an Elohim. And these are the placers under the one placer, God, who brings us everything. But here's the purpose of evil in one sentence. It is an experience of evil Elohim has given. This verse alone does away with all those people who would say, "What is?" They ask the question, and the doubt is sown into the question when they say, "Why does God allow evil?" See, there's doubt of the sovereignty of God sown into the question. Allows evil? No, it is an experience of evil Elohim has given to the sons of humanity. Oh, you mean like a present? Yes, because there's a purpose in it. As we read on, to humble them by it. Evil is used as a means to keep us humble. And as I'd like to say at this point in explaining Ecclesiastes 1:13, it works. God's technique of humbling us works. But here's the revelation. And really, this kind of goes along with a talk I gave last week about I'm no longer an optimist. And this is helpful to know what I'm about to tell you. I can't see it any other way now. I used to think of this as we're born into this life. Life is good. Life is happy. Life is wonderful. We're born into a kaleidoscopic cornucopia of joy and happiness. And that grouchy God, he ruins everything by giving us an experience of evil. Why did he have to ruin this beautiful life that we have been born into by giving us an experience of evil? Things were going so well. Was this really necessary? But, ladies and gentlemen, life is the experience of evil. Do you see the difference? It's not like we're born into life and then God adds an experience of evil. That's how I used to look at this verse. It's a common way to look at this verse. But no, it is an experience of evil that is being born, being sent into the world in the first place. That's the experience of evil that is given you. I wouldn't under ordinary circumstances, quotes Eliphaz the Temanite, has anything good ever come out of Teman? However, the guy nailed it in chapter 5 of Job, verse 7. Humanity is born to misery, even as sparks of burning coal fly aloft. Boy, the guy nailed it there. The guy absolutely nailed it. King James says, man is born unto trouble. Born unto trouble. So trouble is waiting outside the womb. In fact, you probably got more trouble in the womb than you could possibly realize. When our memories are fully restored and we're able to use 100% of our brains, unlike the 2% we're able to use now, God has given me the gift of being able to use 5% of my brain, we're going to realize that there was no bargain. It was no bed of roses in that uterific chamber. This is the experience of evil. Born to misery. Born to misery. So, let me tell you what a position this puts God in now. So, the default setting is evil. The default setting of this world. But it has a purpose. It's not arbitrary. Man is born to trouble. Humanity is born to misery. That's what you're coming into. So now, that's the default setting. That's the baseline. Now, God has the happy job of sprinkling good into your life in order to help you survive the evil, in order to mitigate, to modify the evil so that you don't kill yourself. You see how that gives God a... We have this better idea of God because this is the way we've thought of it. Is this, well, life is good. Here comes grouchy God adding bad things to keep us from getting too excited about life. No. Life is trouble. Anyone born into this life is born into trouble. In fact, we're born for it. We're born to it. This is the experience of evil. So instead of God having to add evil to your life so you don't get too happy in this wonderful world, he brings you into an evil world. He brings you into a world that is constantly breaking down and constantly breaks you down. And now we can see him not as one who's adding evil to our life, but who's constantly adding good. You see, he's constantly adding good to get us through. He's saying, what good can I do for these people today? You see, we're not used to looking at it that way. We're used to looking at it as God saying, I got to bring some evil because, well, it's experience of evil God has given to the sons of humanity. So let's see, what day is it? Thursday. Let's see, Wednesday was pretty good for Martin Zender. So it was really too good. As the man has been known to say, I can't sew 3 good days together in a row. Well, that's because God says I'm an expert at adding evil to his life lest things be going too good for him. No, it's not that at all. He's constantly adding good, constantly looking to give us a break wherever he can. I got to add the evil to keep them humble. No, I'm going to give them good. I'm going to keep adding the good to even it off, to even the keel, because if I left them alone for a second with only the default setting, only the baseline of an evil world, then they would despair. They would despair. And so, I find that I am quite an astute person when I believe 1 John 2:15. I believe this to be a transadministrational truth. Jesus said, John said in 1 John 2:15, be not loving the world, neither that which is in the world. If anyone is loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Be not loving the world. But I thought life was good. I see these t-shirts as life is good. What? No. The t-shirt should say, life is trouble. Or, life is an experience of evil. into which God sprinkles happy times, good experiences, necessary respites, periods of contemplation, friends, cocoa pebbles, coffee, M&Ms, the Three Stooges, Led Zeppelin, and the Beatles. These are things God has placed into an evil world. And so, at this point, I hardly know what to say to people who want this world to continue. I know people, you know people, who think that life is just a bowl of cherries. And wouldn't it be great if it went on for another 500 years? Why would you want an experience of evil? Because this is what life is. God has given us, being born, an experience of evil. Why would you want an experience of evil to continue? How hard do you want God to have to work to bring enough good into your life to keep you from killing yourself every day? But this evil world, this evil life, is a necessary prerequisite to future glory. And I'm telling you, it works to keep us humble. It's doing its job. And when its job is finished, it will be abolished. This life, this world we are now experiencing, the world that crucified Christ, the world that John says you're not supposed to love, or anything that's in the world. We tolerate it because it's of God. We know we need it because it is an experience of evil Elohim has given to the sons of humanity to humble them by it. But we're normal, peace-loving, Christ-loving, God-loving, freedom-loving, deliverance-loving people who are waiting to be made immortal and to be done with this necessary boot camp, to be done with this evil once and for all. That's going to happen. But in the meantime, there's this perfect interplay, and God is the one in charge of the interplay. But instead of being one who constantly has to think of evil things to do to you in order to keep you humble, he has the happy job of constantly adding cocoa pebbles and sure sprinkles and friends and family and dogs and cats and iced tea into your life to help you to survive this experience of evil. God would be good either way. God would be good either way. But to me, it's even better to think of him adding good to an evil life.